Last Wednesday at prayer meeting, we were studying this chapter, and I told our people there, don't be surprised if part of this is repeated on Sabbath morning. But the title of our message today is The Right Gift. Have you ever received a gift at Christmas that was not the right gift? Oh, come on, you have, haven't you? It's not appropriate to lie in church, especially on Christmas Day. We were at Walmart yesterday doing some last-minute shopping, and I could not believe the things that people were buying. I suppose that it all represented gifts. One man had a gallon of antifreeze in his buggy. I suppose if you needed antifreeze, that would be an appropriate gift. I saw a crock pot in another shopping cart. Now, I happen to like crock pots. You can do a lot in a crock pot, not crack pot, but crock pot. A lot of people were buying clothing. All different types of clothing. Children's toys probably was at the top of most people's list. How often I've even heard it said this year, well, Christmas is for kids anyway. I even talked to one man who said, I wish the adults in my family would not even exchange gifts. He said, until we got grandkids, we just passed gift cards one to another. Oh, but the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of giving. And also the spirit of receiving. I think there's a way to put those two in the proper context today as people of faith meet to celebrate Christ's birth. And we know it's not today, but aren't you glad it happened? At some date in time, some point in time, it happened. Like we were discussing at prayer meeting, that angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you have been chosen of God. And she said, how's this going to happen? And he says, don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit's in charge. And then she has to talk to Joseph. Whether Joseph had the dream before Mary said to him, look, I'm pregnant. Or maybe he had the dream afterward. It's really not that important. Except that we have these two people, Mary and Joseph, who are supremely trusting in God and in the divineness of this child that's coming and on its way. They were looking for the Christ child. I would suppose that the relatives of Mary and her father Heli and even of Joseph's family, you know he must have talked to his brothers if he had any, or his sisters if he had any, or if his mother and daddy were alive, or any of his relatives. They must have been party to that secret family information that this is not a normal birth. But it's of divinity. This is the Christ child promised through centuries. Now, I want you to recognize a fact today. Ever before you have a need for a gift, should it be antifreeze or an item of clothing or a crock pot, God, working in His providence, can move people and circumstances to meet your need before your need ever arises. Joseph and Mary had no idea that miles away, in another country, in another land, there were men of godly faith in their perspective who had been studying Hebrew Scripture, who were students of the stars and of nature, and who were convinced themselves that it was time for this new king of the Jews to be born. That the Jehovah God, the living God, really did have something to offer even them as pagans. As the Christ child was born, God called upon a group of humble shepherds out in the countryside that evening. When they had built their fires and cooked their soup and had eaten, they had no idea they were about to be entertainers of this angelic choir sent from God Himself. Some of those humble men had been students of Scripture. They had been taught from their mother's knee, someday the Christ will come. The Redeemer in Israel shall come. The sky suddenly ablaze with their presence. And the shepherds heard that announcement. Don't be afraid. But unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the King. When Mary had wrapped the Christ child in those white strips of linen cloth called swaddling cloths, she didn't know that it would be a sign for a number of shepherd men who would come looking for the child. See how good God works behind the scenes? The shepherds come and find Mary and Joseph with the Christ child. They fall down and worship Him. The Bible tells us that. And then being so excited of what has happened, they go off somewhere else to tell other people about it. It's a fantastic story. Whether the wise men were traveling at that time or whether the Christ infant child would grow up to become a toddler, there's some chronological gaps in there. We don't know exactly where to put all the fittings. But it tells us in Matthew 2, and we just read about it, that these wise men from the east would show up and make a declaration to Mary and to Joseph and the Christ child. Let's assume they arrive in the morning. The breakfast dishes have all been put away. Suddenly, outside of the house, and you read this here in Matthew 2, there would have come a knock. Maybe their dog barked. Maybe the camels of the wise men did their... Let's see, does a camel neigh or moo? Or what does a camel do? Gurgled. Is that what you said? The noise of their animals and the bells on their bridles must have jingled as the wise men and their procession had made its way now, really under the advice of a pagan king named Herod. They've traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which would be like traveling from here maybe up to Cahuta Springs. Not that far, really. There may have even been some tag-along people. I got to see this. These men dressed in the clothing of the East, I would think. Someone had to be able to speak the language. But Mary and the Christ child are in the house. Assuming Joseph is in the house. The procession stops outside and the knock comes at the door. Would you get that? And the door is opened. And here stands this procession. What would they have said? Excuse me, sir. Is this the house where the Christ is? excuse me, ma'am, we don't mean to bother you. But we believe we are here by divine appointment. We've traveled for many weeks, many months. We've been following a supernatural star in the sky, and that star has come over your house. Is the Christ child here? Think about something. Mary and Joseph, the Christ child. Here's another mouth to feed. Economics are not real good. He is a tradesman. Whether they were building houses or making furniture, it doesn't matter. They knew they had to protect the Christ child. And one of the best ways to protect the Christ child, as Joseph would be warned in a dream, would be to leave. Now let me ask you, if any of you today received a phone call that said, you have to leave this afternoon and go to Los Angeles, some of us just would not have enough cash laying around the house to do that. You could probably get it. You could call Don up and say, Don, I got to go to Los Angeles, loan me $3,000, and he would say, sure. Before they even had a need now, even before they recognized their greatness of their need, God had sent these pagan men from where they lived on their journey that would ultimately end up on their front steps. And these men would have the right gifts at the appropriate time in just the calculated measure to meet every need Joseph and Mary would have in the care of that Christ child. I want you to believe that God will do, has done, and is doing the same for you. Let me just read here verse 11. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. I've wanted to see that somewhere in some painting or some picture. And I've seen it on Christmas cards. The wise men with those turbaned caps, dressed in the gold robes with tasseled ropes around their waist, each with a container, and it's usually three, kneeling down, and they're presenting a container of frankincense, which is very expensive incense. Or maybe one of them has this vase or this vase of perfume of myrrh. I would represent the gold by a treasure chest, wouldn't you? I'd have some chunks in there that were sparkling all over. They presented the Christ child, first of all, with their worship. That's what it says. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. Joseph and Mary did not know they were about to leave quickly. Even the wise men were not aware that they would have to go back another way. But being warned in a dream, the wise men went back home. What a story they must have told. You won't believe it. We got over there to Jerusalem and they didn't even know he had been born. And when we did find him, we knew it was him because of this star we had been following for so long. Oh, he's a beautiful child. But his mother and dad were kind of poor. But we gave him the best that we had. Not long after the wise men left, Joseph was warned himself in his mind in a dream that said, you need to leave here, go away, because there are wicked men's minds working who want to destroy him. If it was not in Scripture, I wouldn't believe it. But the Bible says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt land. He went back to the very place where his forefathers had prayed and begged God to get them out of. My dear friend, God had a plan. It was all in sequential order. On time and on schedule was the birth of Christ, was the coming of the wise men, was the warning in a dream to go to Egypt, and then ultimately would come the travel from Egypt back to Nazareth so Jesus could come back into the land of Judah. The gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh represented much financial value. But let me ask you, I wonder who received the greatest gift that day when the wise men came. Was it Mary and Joseph receiving the financial benefits from the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh on behalf of the Christ child? Or could it truly have been the gift of Christ that the wise men received and would hold forever in their memory? Who benefited the most? Let's go another direction today. You do spiritual inventory and think about your life this past year. You think of all that you have done for the cause of God by your influence, with your resources, with your personal ministry. You try to calculate all the good that you've done this year for Christ. Those are gifts you give to Him. But you've gotten something else in return. On time and on schedule. Everyone here today is living and breathing. I can see you. You have a measure of health, I know that. But beyond what we see here in this room is the promise of eternity, immortality, a place where even the streets are pure gold, if you wish. You never lose when you give to Christ. Whether it be from the humble prayer at your bedside in the evening, when you say, Lord, I need a gallon of antifreeze. I need grocery money. I need healing for my shoulder. I need you, Lord, to work for my family, to pull us back together. You always win. You always receive the rightness from God. And it's always appropriate. It's always on time. God is never late. He's always on schedule. Jesus even knows today what you need. And it just might be that God has sent somebody to help you. Maybe God put certain things in motion last Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever, so that you would receive a blessing today, tonight, or tomorrow, or next week. And sometimes His blessings come to us in ways that we don't even recognize. Who do you think received the greatest gift that day? The wise men or Jesus and Joseph and Mary? Maybe that's the wrong question, John. Maybe that just limits the gift of salvation to those men. Let me quote another verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There are not many gifts in which one size fits all. But so it is with the gift of Christ. Redemption story works and has worked for all people, everywhere, at all times, and in all places. And that gift, my friend, will work for you as well. The gift has been given, but you must receive it. You must accept it. And in receiving Christ, you receive everything that goes along with the gift. I've said it many times here behind the pulpit. Everything that belongs to Christ, He wants to give to you. He wants to give it. His problem is finding people who will believe and who will receive it. Today, as we sing this hymn about the three wise men, it's hymn number 137 in your hymnal. Will you purpose in your own heart to be mindful of the gift of salvation? Will you be consciously aware today of the great gift God gave when He sent Jesus? And that gift is a permitized gift, paid for, to meet every need that we have. Lord, we thank You for the story of the birth of Christ, of those who gave in His honor, and for the call that is ours to still look for Christ, to seek Him, to find Him, and give Him our very best. Guide us, Lord, to that perfect light. May this year be the best year in our service to You. And grant that our gift of worship be our best. In Jesus' name, amen.